November 14 marks World Diabetes Day, which coincides with the birthday of the late Sir Frederick Banting, who discovered insulin with Charles Best in 1922. While we may often think of obese or older people being the ones to battle the disease, it can impact people from all walks of life, including the young and fit Eddie Howe from Saturday All Sports here at 5MU, who only just recently discovered he has type 1 diabetes. Eddie joins me in the studio for a chat about it. Hi there, Eddie. How you doing?
Going very well, Jenny. Thank you.
You've had quite a whirlwind couple of months, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. It was definitely not something that I was expecting, least of all at 30 years old. It was a very surprising diagnosis to receive, and a lot of frantic efforts by different medical professionals to try and get things under control immediately. So I had some regular blood tests. When those came back, my GP told me pretty much to go straight to the emergency room. A normal person, when they take their blood, should get a reading between 5 and 6. My sugar levels were at 42, which is extreme. And I guess I didn't understand how immediately that needed to be treated and what the ongoing treatment for that looked like. Thought I would just be out of the hospital with some pills and on my way I'd go. But it was frantic.
Mm.
The nurses and the doctors at the hospital were very immediate in wanting to get things under control because it was.
How did you
so
end
extreme.
Up there? Was it because you were just feeling ill, or
yeah? So I yeah. had some, I guess, symptoms of diabetes, but nothing that I hadn't put down to something else. I had some weight loss, which I put down to stress at my regular job, and I like to lead a pretty healthy and active lifestyle, so go to the gym regularly, all that sort of stuff. There was one that most people associate with is the thirst, but I've always drunk a lot of water and didn't really think much of that sort of thing. I was never full. I was always hungry. And I've always been a big eater, but this has been it had gone to the next level. So I just had some regular blood tests with my GP. And she rang me basically that night to say, "You got to go to the emergency room, mate, because this is way out of order." And I'm thankful for her for acting on that so quickly, and then her following up over the next few days in her own time was great. And then the next few days were just a whirlwind of information, tests, more blood tests, and starting the routine of insulin injections.
Yeah, and thank goodness for insulin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So it's, it's an interesting, it was a diagnosis that I didn't expect, but one that, as I said initially, I hoped would be able to be managed with just pills or tablets or something like that, but it can be, quite invasive to try and manage.
Yeah, so how is managing it? Does it entail a lot?
Yeah, so yeah. it's a bit of a production. I take my blood sugar levels before every meal and basically have 4 shots of insulin a day. So in the morning with breakfast, I have a shot of long-lasting insulin that gradually releases. And then every meal, depending on what my blood sugar level reading is, will depend on the dosage I have of a fast-acting insulin. So if it's between, if I get a reading between 8 and 12, it's a certain dosage. If it goes higher than that, then the dosage increases. The fun part of managing that is working out how what you eat and your lifestyle can affect what your readings are.
All right. And so like exercise and what time you get up and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. All that sort of stuff. And trying to find the routine of keeping regular meals. It can be difficult because I sometimes work shift work at my normal job, obviously, like I said, up quite early to come in here on Saturday mornings. So to try and work out how those things affect what those readings can be, and then not overcorrecting that to end up with your sugar levels too low, because that is when there's an immediate danger. So diabetes can obviously have long-term health risks, the stuff that we all sort of know about chopping off your foot and that sort of thing. But if your sugar levels go too low, that's when you pass out.
Mm.
You start having all sorts of other, complications. You can hit your head if you fall over, that sort of thing. So to know when you're going too low in terms of your sugar levels is really important as well.
So you must always carry around some little snacks on you,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's the jelly beans. It's the jelly beans. And, to think that jelly beans is a way to treat a medical condition sounds pretty good, but you can get over it after a while. So it's when your sugar levels do drop too low, I'm getting really good at picking up the signs for that, and they're getting further apart, those hypo episodes. Tend to start sweating a lot. You get the shakes. So you need to pick those sugar levels up real quick, which is why the jelly beans, which are, you know, pretty much pure sugar, you know, a bottle of soft drink, that sort of stuff is something that you need to. And then to actually eat something proper, say proper, you know, 15 to half an hour afterwards to try and keep those levels where they should be, and then retesting to find out how you've been affected.
Big
by
lifestyle
that.
Change, hey, Eddie?
Absolutely. And so going out for lunch, going out for dinner, I have to take all the stuff to read my blood sugar levels. I have to take the injections with me, and then, you know, managing to keep that safe and dispose of all that equipment appropriately is, yeah, something that, you know, is taking some getting used to.
Yeah, I bet. Kind of cool, though, to be so conscious of your own body, your own temple, and
what's
going in and out and all that sort of stuff.
And so there are devices which will monitor your blood sugar levels on a more regular basis. So you can actually get a sensor installed in your arm, and you swipe your phone over it, and that's a much less invasive way of monitoring your sugar levels, and it will actually give you a constant reading, I guess, of where your sugar levels are at. At the moment, taking the finger prick, I only get it the reading of what it is right there and then. The further I go down the track, we'll look at getting something like that, which will give a much better picture and be able to monitor that better myself.
With me at the moment is 5MU's Eddie Howell. We're talking about his recent diabetes 1 prognosis. Now, I know you're not an expert, Eddie, but you have lived experience. And tell us, what is the difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2? They're quite different, aren't they?
Yeah, so type 1 diabetes is basically where you don't produce any insulin at all, or very, very little, which is why there is such a regime of those insulin injections. Type 2 diabetes, you still do produce insulin, but it just doesn't find its way into the right parts of the body. So the medication that you take for that is different. It just helps the process along and helps that insulin find the right spots. Type 1, you don't produce any insulin at all. A simple way to think about it is about having a key for a lock.
Yep.
For type 1, you don't have a key at all. For type 2, you have the key, but the key's broken.
Right. That's the one that you can actually get over. Yeah, whereas with type 1, you'll be managing this for the rest of your life.
Basically,
right?
Yeah. And so that's when I was, you know, when the doctors and nurses were umming and ahhing about what type I had, you know, they're treated differently. There's different subsidies and help for the different types. So, you know, one is treated one way, so it's straight way up which one I hoped I got diagnosed with. But yeah, it turns out that it is type 1, which is nothing to do with your lifestyle. It's not something that, you know, I've necessarily brought on by eating too many sugary foods or anything like that. It's just bad luck.
Yeah. The way it is.
Yeah.
It's really lovely to have you on the team, Eddie, and I'm so glad that you are managing diabetes and that you're nice and safe and alive for us.
Oh, it's great to be here. And, you know, 5MU have been fantastic in helping me adapt to this and my regular workplace as well. It's something that, you know, was daunting at the start, but and is invasive to manage. But in the right circumstances, hopefully I'll get this under control and everything will be tickety-boo.
Eddie Howell, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Jenny.